Wow, what a scoundrel we encounter in that gospel passage, right? This guy's a real piece of work. Yeah. Can you believe this guy? We look at it and we think, wow, that's just amazing. And, you know, he receives this wonderful mercy from his master, and then he turns right around and is just so wicked. It kind of reminds me of an adage from my days in the business world, kissing up and kicking down. Meaning that the people above you, of course, you're really nice and you're kissing because you want to receive favor from them. But the people down below you, you know, harsh on, you know, you do what I say. You need to do things for me. You need to make me look good. That kind of a mentality. There's a little bit of a corollary here. I know it's not exact, but it reminded me of that. But if we're honest with ourselves, this happens to each of us. Now, to varying degrees, of course, and across different circumstances and seasons of life, we all want to receive mercy and forgiveness, right? No doubt about that. But oftentimes, we aren't so quick to offer these gifts to others. That's much harder for us. As part of our human brokenness, we tend to hang on to hurt and pain, strangely, mysteriously, versus letting it go and offering it to God. We expect the person or persons who have hurt us to seek to right the wrong. Not us. They need to extend the olive branch, right? And even when they do that, we can still struggle to let it go completely. And this links to another condition of our human brokenness, namely that we really aren't very good at receiving the Lord's mercy. We don't open up enough to allow His mercy to transform us. We might allow it to come in a little bit, right? Just in the surface. But do we allow it to go all the way down into the depths of our soul? No, often instead we take the quick route, the quick fix, we might say, like the wicked servant, and then resume our selfish, resentful, sinful conduct toward other people. In today's first reading, the great sage Ben Sirach speaks directly to our brokenness and helps to illumine the path forward. He offers some good advice to us. Wrath and anger are hateful things, he says, yet the sinner hugs them tight. Ouch, right? That probably sounds familiar to a lot of us. Of course, we recognize wrath and anger is terrible, but why do we harbor them then? why do we cling to them? Well, as Sirach teaches, it is the sinner that hugs them tight. And every single one of us is a sinner. So he's highlighting the great need that each and every one of us has for ongoing conversion, through which we let go of ourselves more and more and allow God's mercy to work more freely within us. Forgive your neighbor's injustice, the sage continues. Then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. We hear echoes of the Our Father, right? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If our hearts are hardened toward others, then we can't receive from the Lord, right? Our hearts are closed off to receive from Him. Hence, Sirach counsels us further. Remember your last days. Set enmity aside. Remember death and decay. And cease from sin. That's really cheery stuff, isn't it? What he's getting at here is that holding on to grudges will only prolong our struggles and our sufferings in this life and will not bode well for us in the next. So so remember your death. That doesn't mean we need to be fixated on death, but we're going to die. We can't bring anything with us. So we might as well nurture our souls and the souls of others while we're here so that we're prepared for the next life. Plus, we often don't really know why people do bad things to us. It may seem obvious on the surface, but in many cases, I'd even conjecture most cases, there's something else going on. We might just be victims of circumstance. The people are wounded. They're fearful. Ultimately, it's a lack of love. They're not being loved in some aspect or aspects of their lives, and so this is a way that they kind of lash out. And we happen to be there when it happens. Therefore, our best move, friends, is to love those who hurt us and seek to reconcile our differences. This will lead to healing and flourishing now and ultimately to to salvation of souls. I know what you're thinking, that this is pretty tough, right? Without a doubt, it's not easy. It's often brutally hard. The Lord knows that, and so He leads by example. And we see a wonderful example of that in today's responsorial, which is the marvelous Psalm 103. And I'd like to give you a little holy homework. When you go home, take a look, open up your Bible, go to Psalm 103. It's absolutely marvelous. Now, so yes, the Lord's going to give an example for us. And keep in mind that no one has been betrayed as egregiously or as often as God. No doubt about it. Yet, as we heard, He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills, redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. So this is how our God responds to our wickedness, to us veering away, turning away from Him, rejecting Him, sometimes defiantly. He crowns us with kindness and compassion. He brings us back from destruction. He heals all your ills, all your iniquities. His response is always mercy, not resentment or vengeance, like ours often is. He always offers reconciliation, not punishment. He wants us to be one with Him. He knows that we're doomed on our own. That's what we heard. He saves us from destruction. And He loves us way too much to just stand by and let it happen and say, well, you guys are adults. I reached out to you a few times and you chose something else. So tough luck, pal. No. So He seeks to lift us out of the darkness and deeper into loving communion with Him. That's what He desires for every single one of us. Not according to our sins does He deal with us, nor does He requite us according to our crimes. Because we'd be doomed. Just like the servant in the parable, in the gospel passage, there's no way He could pay back that debt. There's no way we can pay back the debt of our sins. Only through the Lord and His mercy and His goodness can we move on. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He put our transgressions from us. Beautiful. He wants to banish them. This is how good our God is. He just wants us to be free and flourishing. If only we'll say yes. That's all we have to do. And He takes care of the rest. Therefore, brothers and sisters, no matter how much we might protest, and we all do, this life just isn't about us. As individuals or as collectively, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. But not because He's selfish or vain. Not at all. No. The more we give ourselves to Him, the more we learn who we really are and become who He created us to be. The beautiful saints He created us to be. Life lived in and through Him is the best life possible. In fact, it's the closest to eternal splendor that we can get while here on earth. That's what He wants for us. As St. Paul proclaims in today's second reading, if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. This is who we are as Christians, and how beautiful it is. It doesn't mean that we're puppets or, you know, that we're slaves to the Lord in a subjective kind of way. No. This is the best way that we can live. This is the way to flourishing, right? Yeah, we have to live it out to the full. That's what He calls us to do. Not just a little bit, not just to assent to it intellectually, but to live it out. So yes, we are called to be people of mercy, forgiveness, and self-emptying love. Just like our Lord, right here on the cross. We see the ultimate depiction of that. He doesn't lavish His mercy on us for nothing, just for fun. No, He created us to be ambassadors of His divine mercy, to go out there and share it with others without reserve. So this, friends, is the path to true freedom and fulfillment. Again, though, it starts with conversion, letting go of ourselves, walking with Him. Without Him, without the Lord, without relationship with Him, it's where it all starts. Then our identity is revealed to us. Without the Lord, we're just blind and helpless, and life is absurd. It's just one meaningless thing after another. Okay, we're just going to bumble through this day and the next and this month and the next year, and then we're going to die and turn to dust. We know there's more than that. We know there's more than that. Only with Him at the center, not ourselves, only with Him at the center do we reach our true purpose and potential and help many others to do the same through the magnificent gift of reconciliation, extending that divine mercy. Okay, so now in conclusion, we're going to go back and we're going to revisit today's opening prayer. Very concisely pulls together key elements of what we're talking about here. Look upon us, O God, creator and ruler of all things. So right from the start, who's number one here? It's not me, it's Him. Creator and ruler of all things. And that we may feel the working of your mercy. Remember, that's we all want that, right? We want the mercy and forgiveness. Grant that we may serve you with all our heart. That's how we open up to receive His mercy, is by giving our hearts to Him. So I give it back to you in full and so you can reflect upon it. Look upon us, O God, creator and ruler of all things, and that we may feel the working of your mercy. Grant that we may serve you with all our hearts.